Hello, welcome to Pharma Marketing Talk. This is your host, Pharma Guy, also known as John Mack. And today I'm going to be speaking with my good friend and digital consultant, Len Starnes, about the use of medical conference hashtags by the pharmaceutical industry. Good morning, Len, or good afternoon. You're in Berlin, correct?
It is indeed, John. Pleasure to be back on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Len, why don't you discuss how you started the conversation about this issue?
Well, as you probably know, or maybe a lot of people know, I've been following the evolution of medical society conferences for some time now, talking about how they're evolving into physical and virtual events. And within the last few months, a paper was published with a somewhat long title. It's called Measuring the Influence of Commercial Entities in the Twitter Backchannels of Medical Conferences, the MICE Project. And this was authored by academics and doctors in the USA, and they looked at conference hashtags and the use of conference hashtags at 11 US conferences between 2011 and 13. And basically, they came to the conclusion that pharmas and medical device companies, through using hashtags, exert a sort of disproportionate influence on healthcare professionals to promote products and services, instead of sharing unbiased, evidence-based information. And this struck a chord. It was something I certainly not considered. Because basically the last few years, certainly since I've been an independent consultant, I've been trying to encourage pharmas to participate in conferences openly, get into dialogue. And when I was working for the industry, I was even more focused on doing that. And it's been a hard struggle. So now we've come to the point where those pharmas, and there are quite a few now, that are participating and using medical conference hashtags, are being criticized for doing so. So it sparked my interest a great deal, and I've also discovered it's a highly divisive issue, as you can imagine.
Right. I mean, this is interesting because I know I attend a lot of industry conferences on pharmaceutical marketing, not the medical conferences, and people often use the conference hashtag to discuss the issues or whatever and try to reach not just the people participating in the conference, but other people. And it seems to me the conference organizers, like to see that and, really promote the use of their hashtag. So it was surprising that I guess the medical profession may not have the same openness with regard to their medical society conferences. So this was a paper that was published, and You mentioned something about being a back channel.
Yeah, it implied something that was secret and covert. And I did a little research on the use of this term. And in the paper, they cite earlier studies on the use of back channels. And it goes back quite a few years. And at least in academic circles, this term has seem to be quite accepted, but certainly in my circle, back channel in the using back channel in the context of hashtags doesn't seem to be appropriate. From my view, hashtags are quite the opposite. They seem to be open to all, and often owned by multiple organizations as well. I mean, we sometimes get the impression, or certainly from reading this paper, that these things are actually owned by the medical societies. And I certainly, a few years ago, I remember that the European Society of Cardiology and the European Song Contest were using the same hashtag for a while, and they made quite amusing bedfellows. So I do definitely take objection to the pejorative term back channel, but that's a very subjective opinion.
I wonder if people can trademark these hashtags. You ever think of that?
Yeah, John, I don't. I mean, that's been a a question that was raised many times in the past, and I've certainly commented on the use of hashtags and alerted many a medical society about its use of hashtags. Either sometimes they don't register anything at all, they don't announce it, or they use hashtags that have been long since used by other organizations, multiple organizations, or they're just far too long. So there's, I think, certainly a certain number of medical societies are aware of the importance and the value of a hashtag, but I think an awful lot are just simply not, or not yet.
Okay. Do you agree that the pharmaceutical industry is somehow influencing healthcare professionals in a disproportionate manner by using these hashtags, as the authors of that study, I believe, contend?
Well, I think that's at the nub of the paper, really. Does the industry exert some sort of disproportionate influence on doctors? And I thought about this a lot, and the thing that struck me, and I'm being rather cynical here, is, I was reminded of that old expression, there are three kinds of lies: lies, damn lies, and statistics. And the thing to remember about this paper, it is a statistical analysis. And it's an analysis of over 51,000 tweets, and it uses three social media influence parameters. There's some pretty heavyweight statistics in this. But essentially what the paper's trying to say is that if you just look at the statistical analysis, and if you look at the parameters used, then this disproportionate influence is proven. But I don't think that really is the case. I think for me, what's missing is the context. And certainly from my observation, watching how formats of medical society conferences have evolved over the last 4 or 5 years, we know that there are sort of multiple digital social channels being used to host conversations before the conference, during the conference, after the conference. And it's not just Twitter. There are many other platforms being used, and websites used by the societies themselves. We should take those things into account. So if you're looking at overall influence, I think you've got to be looking at the influence in the context of the conversation taking place on other platforms. And it comes back to that question that was raised many, many years ago about can we measure the absolute incremental influence of a digital social channel? This was a question I remember that was raised late 90s by Manhattan Research, and I'm still discussing that. How can you separate out this influence of a specific channel or platform? And I think that was the conversation that I missed in the paper.
You're saying that by analyzing the tweets, they found that the pharmaceutical industry had much more reach or retweets and things like that than other participants who may be using the hashtag. Is that what they meant by having a disproportionate influence?
Yeah. John, they were using, one of the things they were using was, reach. And they were looking at number of tweets per participant, number of tweets per user category, i.e. pharma industry, medical device, manufacturers, healthcare professionals. And then they were looking at this, then they used PageRank, the PageRank from Google. They were looking at PageRank for third parties, and then measuring and comparing PageRank for all categories of users. And on the base of these analyses, they came to the conclusion that pharma's and medical device manufacturers were exerting this disproportionate influence. I'm by no means taking issue with the statistics. I'm not a statistician, but I've been through it at some length. And they seem to be fine. And there's a lot of comment I mean, you can go and have a look at this paper online. And a lot of the comments are basically saying that the analysis is sound and robust.
Right. But beyond that, I think the authors also contend that this use of the hashtags by the pharmaceutical industry constitutes detailing. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was like another red flag for me. And I really have to think about that a lot. Are we really in the position in which all pharmas using medical society conference hashtags are simply detailing? You know, detailing is a very specifically defined term, and it's a product selling situation. Detailing is something that the sales force conducts, when they visit doctors. And I just wondered whether this was really comparable. I don't honestly believe that the descriptor is truly applicable to the majority of pharma and medtech tweets. And if you really think back, the situation is such that the regulatory environment forbids this anyway. And if you also think back, the pharma industry has not actually been using hashtags for that long. It was only, I think, 2009 or 10 when the first use of hashtags started. But, I mean, there is obviously the sort of bell curve of usage. And obviously there are some pharmas that may abuse things like booze ban hashtag. Those commercial entities that are continuously advertising the presence of their booth or an event. I think, you know, that's if that's abused, then it's certainly annoying. But one could argue, I think, that it's not detailing. But I think what I've seen is the paper didn't really look at the qualitative nature of commercial entity tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen is that the industry, I mean, when it started out, I mean, if you remember that, I think the very first pharmaceutical company that started this was Boehringer Ingelheim, and they were covering the European Society of Cardiology meeting, which caused quite a discussion within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they made some mistakes, but we did see and we observed other pharmaceutical companies following suit. So I think the industry has gone through a learning curve on this now, and it's beginning to realize that it's just not sufficient, it's certainly not productive in any way, just to spam on hashtags. If they want to engage their audiences, then they need to engage with meaningful content. And then the other thing I think that we have to be aware of is that doctors are generally highly educated adults and can normally discern between what an ad is and what's not, you know, what's spam and what's not. I think to say that all tweets from pharmas and medical device companies constitute detailing is simply not true. And I see quite the opposite. I see many pharmas now understanding what needs to be reported on so they can engage in a meaningful dialogue with not just doctors, but could also be media and patients who are also becoming quite large users of conference hashtags as well. And the other thing, I just mentioned this in passing, is that I posted a blog on my LinkedIn profile about this topic, and it generated quite a lot of comment. And one farmer, my old farmer, it's not a plug for it, but BioHealthcare posted a comment just recently, and it basically supported things that I was saying. But it was interesting, really, because it's the only farmer I've seen so far that's commented on this issue. As I say, it would be great to hear more comments from the industry about how they feel about this. We don't really know what the majority of doctors think about this issue. I mean, I have read the paper, and I've heard comments from doctors who are for the findings of the paper, but I've also read an equal number of comments from doctors who don't agree with the paper. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be really interesting to see what the majority of doctors or how that opinion is spread. And I think it would also be really interesting to hear from medical societies about what they really think about the issue.
Right. Well, you know, that could be something the pharmaceutical industry might want to take on themselves. and do their own kind of market research on that. So do you think it's desirable for medical societies to try to control the use of their conference hashtags? Is it even possible?
Well, that's a really good question. Well, my first response is no. I genuinely don't think it's necessary. I think it's probably going to be impossible or even counterproductive. I don't really see how they can do it, not meaningfully. One comment that was posted again on my blog on LinkedIn was from my good friend, Lauren Sherman, who's very active in medical education. And he made the comment that this type of analysis is the result of overthinking issues in general, meaning that we don't give audiences enough credit for being able to discern helpful tweets from blatantly promotional tweets. And he went on to talk about what hyper-regulation leads to. And he was talking about hyper-regulation leading to a paucity of good content, as many who would have otherwise tweeted might just stay silent or be regulated out of participating. And it's also important to remember that there are many categories of users of medical society conference hashtags. I list six at least. So you can't just talk about the pharma industry and medical device manufacturers. There are all others, and the question instantly arises, well, what do you do with these groups? They're not exactly the same. Just think about patients and patient organizations who are increasingly using conference hashtags. The other thing that was mentioned in the paper, and I'll just comment on this right now because we're talking about the attitudes of medical societies. I think it's really important to remember the nature of the relationship between medical societies and pharma. And the societies depend on the industry, to a large part, to sponsor many of their events. So they may not wish to impose control and jeopardize the basis of the relationship. And this is a hugely sensitive issue, John, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm more than interested in learning what medical societies really think about this issue, or whether they would even be prepared to consider imposing, even if they felt it was helpful, considering imposing restrictions of some sort.
Let's get back to what the authors are proposing in this paper. I think you listed six activities that medical conference organizers should consider in order to draft some sort of guidelines. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So at the end of the paper, they list some very specific proposals. These are proposals that they believe the medical society should consider in drafting some sort of document or whatever they believe is appropriate. So there are six, and I'll sort of put them in a nutshell. The first one is full transparency of Twitter accounts, which is one I wholeheartedly agree to. If a pharmaceutical company is tweeting behind an account from someone else or doing something covertly, that's not positive. So full transparency, fine, no problem with that. Mm-hmm. It then goes on to say the other thing is that farmers and commercial entities should limit tweets to scientific facts. That's one I would take issue with. Last year, John, I was at the European Society of Cardiology annual conference giving a training course for Twitter reporters, and I talked about at least 14 or 15 different types of tweets that can meaningfully contribute to a hashtag. And if you think through the types of tweets that you like to read and think are contributing to the dialogue around the conference, then it's not just scientific facts. There's opinion, there's questions, there's many other things. So I think that really needs to be rethought. They also talk about adding a hashtag to the tweets themselves, a hashtag ad, indicating that the tweets are advertisements or promotional tweets, which again I wouldn't advocate because I think many of the tweets emanating from the pharma industry and the medical device industry are not advertising or promotional. Many of them are not. They're talking about the disease and the condition. So I think that would be very controversial. They also say and propose limiting tweets to the days of the conference only. So if it's a two-day conference, tweets should only be produced by the industry for those 2 days. They completely ignore the fact that conferences today are becoming extended conversations, you know, before, during, and after the event. So that just seems to be going against the grain. They also propose, and this is where it gets really tricky, they also propose the medical societies monitor page rank for third parties. It says third parties, and I don't know if that means just the commercial entities or all third parties. But page rank, that's quite something. And then it goes on to say, as a last recommendation, that those third parties with high page ranks should be, their words, re-educated. So that's quite a list, and it would be interesting. It would be interesting just to go through those and discuss the implications of those recommendations with all concerned. I mean, I would love to know what medical societies think, and doctors, and the industry. That would make a great discussion.
Well, I understand you are going to be hosting a tweet chat about this through what's the hashtag, HCSMEU?
Yeah, we're going to do that on the 24th of August. That will be at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 5 p.m. European time. Yeah, we're going to ask a few basic questions about the paper or the conclusions in the paper. And I'm sincerely hoping that we do get some participation from medical societies, pharma and doctors, and people like yourself, John, because I think it could be a very interesting discussion. Certainly, I've had a lot of response, a lot of interest in participating in the tweet chat.
Well, people can contact you through Twitter at LENSTARNES, Len Stans, right? Is there any other way you would like people to contact you to get more information about this?
They can use Twitter, they can use LinkedIn, or they can email me if they wish. It's lenstans@gmail.com.
Okay, that's pretty simple. Well, Len, I think we covered, you know, a lot, and I'm looking forward to the tweet chat on August 24th. Do you have anything else that you would like to say in closing before we end our discussion?
Yeah, I'd just like to just reach out to those listening to this podcast again to say that it would be great to get more views on this issue. I think from all categories of users, because as we see the evolution of conferences moving more and more towards this virtual physical hybrid format, Twitter usage is increasing. It's increasing tremendously. I mean, I think many of us have seen the statistics at this year's ASCO meeting. I've been following the statistics of the ESC meeting in Europe. It's growing up. It's growing very substantially. And I'll be following the ESC meeting in 3 or 4 weeks as well. So, yeah, I would love to hear more opinion on this from all categories of users. It would be great.
Well, thank you, Len, for being a guest and discussing this issue. And I want to thank our listeners for listening. So this is Pharma Guy saying goodbye for now. Goodbye, Len. Thanks for being a guest.
And thank you, John. It was a pleasure.
If he were to criticize your ad campaign, you would have to fight off a strong urge to thank him. If he was to praise your marketing campaign, you would list it on your resume. Whatever side of a pharma marketing issue Pharma Guy's currently on is the right side, even if he crosses over to the other side.